Okay, so I'm going to be talking about a mumps outbreak that occurred at a large university in Columbus, Ohio, from January through July of 2014. So on February 25th of 2014, a mumps case was reported to Columbus Public Health, and this mumps case was in an Ohio State University student, the only large university in Columbus, Ohio, with onset of February 12th. And on March 3rd, a second mumps case was reported, also in an OSU student, with onset of February 22nd. At this point, Columbus Public Health initiated active case finding at OSU Student Health Center, where both of these cases had presented. And additional cases were identified, and a mumps outbreak was declared at OSU on March 6th. And at that time, there were 7 cases among students, with onsets ranging from February 12th to March 3rd. To give you some context for those numbers, this figure shows the number of confirmed and probable mumps cases in Columbus City and Franklin County, Ohio, from 2001 through 2014. And most of Columbus City is contained within Franklin County, but we are 2 separate public health jurisdictions and 2 separate public health departments. And from 2001 through 2013, we had a combined average of about 1 case of mumps per year. In 2014, as of March 7th, the day after the outbreak was declared, we had 14 mumps cases. And not all of those were associated with the university, but we definitely had an outbreak on our hands. Mumps disease is a viral illness spread via respiratory droplets. Symptoms include fever, headache, myalgia, the characteristic salivary gland swelling or peritonitis, which you can see in that picture in the right-hand corner, which is actually one of our cases who was interviewed for USA Today. Nonspecific symptoms are present in 40 to 50% of infections, and no symptoms are present in 15 to 20% of infections. The incubation period is 12 to 25 days long, with an average of 16 to 18 days. And infected individuals are most infectious for 1 to 2 days before to 5 days after onset of peritonitis. And mumps disease can have a number of complications associated with it, including orchitis, oophoritis, hearing loss, encephalitis, and others. But thankfully, few complications are severe with mumps disease. The objectives of our investigation were to determine the extent of the outbreak, describe case and outbreak characteristics, identify subclusters within the university, and implement appropriate interventions. And I'll talk through those through this presentation. This is the mumps case definition that we used to find cases. And I won't read this to you or anything, but just note that clinically compatible illness in a confirmed case includes peritonitis and several of the complications that can be manifestations of mumps disease. And we went back to look for cases with onset on or after January 1st of 2014. In order to find cases, we worked with our local providers. So as I mentioned, we were working with OSU Student Health Center already. We also worked with OSU Medical Center, and their infection preventionists notified all of their physicians, including physicians working at emergency departments and affiliated urgent care centers within the community. Franklin County and Public Health and Columbus Public Health worked together to send 4 health advisories over the course of the outbreak to local physicians. And these advisories described the outbreak, provided some updates. We reminded providers that they are required to report suspected cases, and we provided isolation recommendations, and cases were to be isolated for 5 days after the onset of peritonitis or 5 days after the onset of symptoms if no peritonitis was present. We provided a little bit of advice on interpreting serology, and we also provided vaccination recommendations. So we wanted people to have 2 doses of MMR vaccine as appropriate. And we especially wanted to make sure that students and others living in congregate settings were up to date on their MMR vaccine. So moving on to describe the characteristics of cases and outbreak, we had a total of 255 confirmed and probable mumps cases with onsets from January 28th to July 7th. And here you can see that the cases in red are OSU students. And the purplish, light purple, is our OSU staff. Blue, our family of OSU students. And then the orangish-yellow color, our community members. So anybody that didn't fall into one of those other 3 categories. This figure shows the age distribution of our mumps cases. So 70% of our cases were between the ages of 16 and 30 years old. The range from 11 months to 75 years, and the mean and median were both 21 years, to be consistent with an outbreak in a university setting. Some case demographics: 60% of our cases were female, 84% were white, 90% non-Hispanic. 64% of cases were OSU students, and 14% were in OSU staff. The remaining 22% had no formal affiliation with OSU, but were epidemiologically linked to this outbreak. 89% of cases were in Columbus City or Franklin County health jurisdiction, and the remaining 11% were scattered through other city and county health departments in Ohio, and a total of 19 different local public health jurisdictions were involved in Ohio. This map shows Franklin County outlined in blue, and this shows the number of mumps cases associated with this outbreak by zip code. So the dark green zip codes have the fewest cases, and the orange and reddish orange have the most cases. And the two zip codes, or the several zip codes with the orange and reddish orange, are located where the university is located. And the map, if you can see it on the bottom right, it's not very big, shows Ohio as a whole, and most cases, as we know, were clustered in central Ohio where Columbus is located, though we did have some cases scattered throughout Ohio. These figures show self-reported vaccination status comparing OSU student cases to non-student cases. We had 156 cases that were OSU students who reported their vaccination status to public health. 87% of those students reported receiving at least two doses of mumps-containing vaccine, and an additional 9% reported receiving one dose of mumps-containing vaccine, so that's 96% total. We were able to verify receipt of at least one dose of vaccine in 56% of student cases. Among non-student cases, 45% reported receiving at least two doses, and another 40% reported receiving one dose. So you can see that while both reported being very highly vaccinated, the non-student cases were more likely to report that they had only one dose as compared to two doses in students. And 29 cases, or 35%, of the non-student cases had at least one dose verified by immunization records. Early on in the outbreak, we noticed that there were some subclusters within the university. Our first two cases that were reported to us were both psychology majors, and a number of our early cases reported being members of fraternities or sororities. So we defined a subcluster at the university as at least two mumps cases linked to a specific fraternity or sorority, residence hall, academic major, or athletic team. And early in the outbreak, we requested class schedules of student cases and use Node Excel software to create sociograms. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Among fraternities and sororities, there were 13 subclusters, so 13 had at least two cases of mumps, and a total of 64 student cases were involved in those 13 subclusters. The fraternities and sororities had from between 2 to 13 cases in their subclusters, with an average of 5 cases per subcluster. However, some sororities and fraternities had just one mumps case, so a total of 72 student cases reported membership in a sorority or fraternity. That's 44% of our student cases. If we compare this to the general student body, 11% of the Ohio State student body reports membership in fraternities or sororities. So we definitely had a higher proportion among our student cases. And about a third of chapters were affected, and 25 cases reported living in a chapter house. We had 5 subclusters in residence halls, with an average of 3 cases per subcluster, and overall hall residence was reported by 24 student cases, so that's about 15%. I couldn't find a statistic on residence halls and dorms specifically, but about 25% of OSU students live in campus housing. That's about 11,000 students, actually over 11,000 students. So 24 student cases out of 11,000 residing in a hall or a dorm or other campus housing is not too bad. And about a third of halls had at least one case. Early on, we looked at academic major, but as the outbreak went on, it became less useful because students can be in the same class and not have the same major. But we did have 11 cases who reported being psychology majors, and 10 reported being communications majors. On athletic teams, there were 3 subclusters, but overall, few of our student cases reported being on an athletic team. As I mentioned early in the outbreak, we sort of experimented with some social network mapping. This figure on the right shows students and their associations with fraternities and sororities and their class connections. So the triangles are fraternities and sororities. And I don't know if I have a pointer here. So here's Sigma Chi fraternity, and that had 6 cases associated with it at that time. And the classes are spheres. So this business management class, there were actually 4-month cases in the same class, the same actual class section, so they had class together. And then the squares are the cases, and the dates underneath are their onset dates. So it was interesting to look at the beginning, but we know that this is not comprehensive of all social interactions among college students. But in some cases, we could actually identify linkages and watch the onsets change by 1 incubation period. And also, mumps, because 15 to 20% of cases can be asymptomatic, it's not easy to trace a direct transmission chain. So we did implement interventions in this outbreak, of course. The outbreak spread to the surrounding community, and a community outbreak was declared on March 24th, with an additional 230 cases that were not linked to OSU. And EIS Officer Carolyn McCarty from Ohio will be talking about that outbreak, which involved multiple counties, tomorrow morning in the Infectious Disease Rapid Fire 3. Columbus Public Health established an incident command system in April to organize our response to this outbreak. And collaboration between CPH, OSU healthcare providers, other local health departments, the Ohio Department of Health, and CDC, who did PCR testing for us, was critical to investigating and intervening in this outbreak. Interventions included isolation of cases. So as I mentioned, cases were to self-isolate for 5 days after the onset of peritonitis or after onset of symptoms if no peritonitis was present. Several education campaigns were conducted. So on the public health end, we did social media campaigns, other media campaigns. Ohio State did a lot of messaging. They put out prevention messages to their students and staff. And they also targeted fraternities and sororities based on our recommendations, residence halls, international students who they assumed would be less highly vaccinated. And they did a Don't Assume You're Immune campaign to help get students up to date. 4 different immunization clinics were held in Columbus City and Franklin County in response to this outbreak and the community outbreak. And over 1,100 doses of MMR were given. And then that does not include clinics that happened in surrounding counties in response to the larger community outbreak. A couple of policy changes were influenced by this outbreak and the outbreak of measles in the Amish community that Sherry mentioned earlier. So one policy change was at OSU. And at the time of the outbreak of mumps, OSU did not have a vaccination policy for its students other than health profession students. This not only made it easier for an infectious disease to spread, but it made finding vaccination records very difficult on students. So as of fall of 2015, incoming students will now have to have proof of several vaccinations. Exemptions will be allowed in line with Ohio public school allowances, but this is a big change for the university. And I believe at least incoming students, maybe all students in dorms, will also have to have meningococcal vaccine. A policy change for Ohio as a state, House Bill 536 and Senate Bill 381 would require vaccines for children attending state-licensed daycare facilities. Ohio is currently the only state without this protection, and this bill has passed the House and still needs to go through the Senate. So in conclusion, this outbreak started among university students and quickly spread into the community, despite being what we think of as a highly vaccinated population, particularly among students. And there was substantial fraternity and sorority transmission that helped propagate the outbreak within the university. collaboration with our public health partners and OSU was key to investigation and intervention, particularly when holding vaccine clinics. And one lesson from this outbreak is to use opportunities like outbreaks to change policy. So nobody wants an outbreak. It's just not a good situation in general. But when things like this do happen, you can identify weaknesses in policies and hopefully use the outbreak to change those. So I'd like to acknowledge all of my co-authors on the left from Columbus Public Health, and then all of our partners on the right, and we couldn't have investigated and responded to this outbreak without them. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
When you identified students or staff who didn't have documentation, were any exclusions made?
I don't believe exclusions were made at the university, but anyone that did not have two doses of documented MMR was encouraged to get vaccinated. And I think it's surrounding, I'm trying to think of the public schools surrounding, like during the community outbreak, and I can't remember, I think maybe a surrounding county did do some public school exclusions, but and then there were issues with healthcare workers at Ohio State and making sure that they were up to date, and I can't remember if some of them had to be off work for a little while, but if they didn't have documented immunity, but I know that issue came up during the outbreak. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Holly Sands with the Kentucky Department for Public Health. We are interested in adopting legislation for our incoming college students. Is Ohio State only going to implement the new policy for freshmen or for all students?
For any incoming students right now.
And that includes adults as well as?
I believe so. I think it's any. As far as I know, the policy will be any incoming students. I suppose just to make it easier to, rather than having to backtrack and try to get all of the students that are, like, I think Ohio State has roughly about 50,000 students, so it'd be a huge undertaking to
get
those
others
caught up.
Right, part of our concern is for graduate students and international graduate students still residing on campus.
I believe it's all incoming, but I can definitely check on that.
Christina Moore, California Department of Public Health. Just curious, what are the immunization exemptions that are allowed aside from medical exemptions, and what are the requirements to obtain those in Ohio?
Ohio allows philosophical and religious exemptions, and I believe, and I am probably not the best person to speak to this, but I know that those are allowed. I don't believe it's very hard to get exemptions. If there's anybody in the audience from the Ohio Department of Health who wants to speak to that more, you're welcome to.
I am, but I have no idea.
It's not difficult to get an exemption.
You want to speculate on the source of your original cases, where they might have gotten it? Were they circulating with some other outbreak someplace else?
We don't know of connections to any other outbreak. The first case that was reported to us was an international student with no vaccine history or unknown vaccine history, but he actually wasn't the index case in this outbreak, and I believe the index case was immunized. So we don't know. We did have a couple of mumps cases in the community early in January, but at the time we couldn't find any EpiLink between them or to the university. So we really don't know exactly where it came from. And one thing I should mention was we declared this outbreak on March 6th, which was a Thursday. Friday was the last day before spring break for OC students. So the Ohio Department of Health did send out an EpiX to look for cases because we were concerned that they were going to go have a lot of contact with other places.
Okay. Great, thank you.